The 18th century English poet William Wordsworth drew much of his inspiration from plants. Probably his best-known poem is about a common bulb that blooms in spring. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. There's a new book, Wordsworth's Gardens, describing the poet's relationship with his man-made landscapes. More from NPR's Ketzel Levine.
On the morning of March 27th, 1802, William Wordsworth dug into a fresh pile of dung. Such were the inspirations in this poet's life, whose garden was his muse, not simply its ferns and bluebells or the rhythm of its seasons, but its winding terraces, what we call paths. Carol Buchanan is the author of Wordsworth's Gardens.
This was not a poet who sat in his study. This man got out doors. He was an outdoor poet. He wrote about the outdoors, and he wrote while he was outdoors. He paced back and forth, and he wrote his poems in his head and out loud to the rhythms that his feet paced out on these terraces. So when you walk these terraces, you're walking where Wordsworth wrote all this great poetry.
In youth, from rock to rock I went, from hill to hill in discontent, of pleasure high and turbulent, most pleased when most uneasy. But now my own delights I make, my thirst at every rill can slake, and gladly nature's love partake of thee, sweet Daisy.
It was one of those heavenly days that cannot die, as Wordsworth wrote, when I called Rydal Mount, the poet's last home in England, and reached head gardener Tony Braithwaite. He was mulching the perennial beds. He laid down his garden fork and, with cell phone in hand, made his way towards a patch of the poet's favorite flower, the celandine.
They're open and they're looking very nice at the moment. Yes, beautiful. There's a big clump of them here, and there's one, two, three, or maybe a dozen flowers open fully, looking right at the sunshine. Butter yellow.
Rydal Mount is a small property located 60 miles south of Scotland. At its center is a white, stonewashed cottage nestled in spring green, informal mixed hedges, climbing honeysuckle, and descending lawns. Rydal Mount looks out on the Lake District with yawning views of still water and emerald hills. Frustrated I couldn't be there, I asked Mr. Braithwaite for a tour.
Well, standing right in front of the house, Rydal Mount itself, walking down a footpath in between these two lawns, and with herbaceous borders on both sides of me.
And you're seeing plants emerging in the herbaceous borders?
I am, yes, yes. Delphiniums, peonies are just starting to sprout. And of course, there's lots of rhododendrons, but they aren't in flower yet, not all of them.
When Wordsworth was asked to write a poem about a garden he'd never seen, he wrote about the impossibility of putting an unseen garden into words. Admittedly, we're at a similar disadvantage, but we do have a very game guide. He points out heather in the rock wall built by Wordsworth, the fern leaf beech planted by Wordsworth, and in the distance, a hill of daffodils known as Dora's Field.
It's about 50 yards away, yes.
Can we walk over there?
Yes. So if you want to keep talking while we walk, that's fine.
What do you know about his skills as a gardener? What can you surmise?
Well, looking around me, I mean, his skills, he always said that if he hadn't been a poet, he would have been a gardener. And looking around me, you know, looking at all the stonework, the walls and the rockeries and things like that, I think he must have been a marvellous gardener and had a marvellous insight into what he wanted to do and what he wanted to see.
150 years later, are the paths and the terraces holding up pretty well?
Yes, they're holding up very well. The walls and the terraces, they're marvellous. And he used all local stone. Stone and rock were very meaningful to him, you know, symbolic.
Do you have any idea what they were symbolic of?
Eternity, I would think. I think that's what he meant. Right, we're approaching the gateway to Dora's Field now. It's just a blaze of yellow at the moment.
Dora's Field is a steep, rocky hillside where William and Mary Wordsworth, then both in their 70s, worked on hands and knees with mattocks and trowels to plant daffodils in memory of their daughter, the third child they buried. The wild progeny of those mid-19th century daffodils are what bloom on Dora's Hill today, and what draw thousands of tourists each spring. And 'tis my faith, wrote Wordsworth, that every flower enjoys the air it breathes. In his plant preferences, Wordsworth seemed inherently distrustful of anything gaudy or exotic, and he loved the natural streams of his native landscape. But there was no flowing water at Rydal Mount, so he created a series of descending rock pools, then diverted well water to run down them. He even orchestrated the sound of the rushing water by fine-tuning the arrangement of rocks.
We'll try and get to them, yeah. There's not a lot of water running at the moment because we're just having brilliant sort of spring. The weather's been perfect.
Now we're talking with Rydal Mount curator Peter Elkington.
So we'll wander around to the main pool where it comes from the fells. And I'm doing a bit of repair work here. I'm moving a rock from the path. It's obviously moved a bit. Yeah, there's not an awful lot of water coming over here at the moment, Ketzel. It's, I don't know whether you can hear. Can you hear it?
I can hear it. It sounds absolutely lovely. I'm going to ask you now to walk to the gate at Rydal Mount, where I understand there is an inscription.
Okay.
Nice of them to tromp hill and vale on our behalf.
Okay, we're just going through the gate in a rather unorthodox way, but I won't tell you about that. Just lifted it off its hinges because it's locked. And we're going towards this rock, the brass plaque on it. You want me to read it, I presume? Okay, let me just put my glasses on because it's actually quite small. In these fair vales hath many a tree at Wordsworth's... Oh, gosh, it's so difficult to read.
Let me try. In these fair vales hath many a tree at Wordsworth's suit been spared, and from the builder's hand this stone, for some rude beauty of its own, was rescued by the baird. So let it rest, and time will come when here the tender-hearted may heave a gentle sigh for him as one of the departed. For NPR News, I'm Ketzel Levine.
O happy garden, whose seclusion deep hath been so friendly to industrious hours, and to soft slumbers that did gently steep our spirits, carrying with them dreams of flowers, and wild notes warbled among leafy bowers. To burning months let summer overleap, and, coming back with her who will be ours, into thy bosom we again shall creep.
There's more about Wordsworth's two gardens in the Lake District in Ketzel's Talking Plants at npr.org.